Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo's Production Update conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Stephanie. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. We undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thanks, Mike. Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon for those on the East Coast. I have here with me the company president, Dr. Klaus Zeitler, our CFO, Aurora Davidson, and Mike Kuder, our corporate secretary and general counsel. Purpose of this conference call is to give further elaboration on the release made yesterday morning on our production outlook. That's in connection with the advice that we received from El Teniente Division of Codelco, which provides us with our material that we treat, from which we produce our copper, and to give you a further update and elaboration on that release. I would ask the company president, Klaus Zeitler, to give us a presentation. Thank you.
Well, as our press release has announced, El Teniente last week closed down the flow of tailings on the tailings lander between our plant and their ultimate tailings pond, which is called Corain, which meant that we were not able to produce during these days. The immediate cause of that was that they had some problems with the tailings flow due to some to some equipment which somehow ended up in the tailings launder and which ripped some of the lining in the tailings launder and which had to be repaired in order to avoid spillage of the tailings into the river or into areas close to the river. In that context, however, El Teniente did a environmental review of their whole system, and we don't know whether it was an environmental review only of the tailing system or of their whole operations, particularly also due to the fact that they had this environmental accident in April this year, which, as you may recall, forced us to close down at that time for about also. In the context of that review, they received from third-party consultants a report which stated that there is a very high probability that under the present production conditions, with a flow of tailings of about 130,000 tons, there would be a very high probability that the bridge which crosses the Cachapoal River about 3 or 4 kilometers down from our operations could, under certain circumstances, collapse, which of course would result in a major environmental accident. With the bad press and the parliamentary investigations which have taken place after the April environmental accident, El Teniente, of course, expectedly became very cautious in and making sure that not another environmental accident would happen. And it is in that context that they have decided that the flow of tailings should be reduced to a level which at the present time sits at about 70 to 80,000 tons downstream from our plant. They continue to produce at the normal levels of about 120,000 tons, and that flow of tailings, however, does not reach our plant, but part of it, namely the difference between the 70 to 80,000 tons and the 120,000 tons, is diverted into the Colivas tailings dam, the old tailings dam, which is sitting immediately above our plant and for which we have, as you know, the right to extract these old tailings and also produce copper. That diversion and the fact that the downstream tailings launder is limited in capacity has, as we have published already in May, has not allowed us to produce from Colivas in the meantime, and the further reduction of that capacity has now limited us to the 70 to 80,000 tons. El Teniente is working on the engineering right now for the enforcement of the bridge, so that bridge can again take the full amount of tailings going downstream from our plant. And we are told that the reinforcement of the bridge will take place sometime from October to December this year. We expect that during that time there will be another few days here and there where the tailings flow will have to be completely restricted. However, we also expect that the tailings flow will be restored to the original level by next year. Apart from the restriction which El Teniente has through this bridge, they are also in a critical situation with their ultimate tailings dam, Karain, because due to a new environmental law which comes into effect next month in Chile, they will be very restricted in discharging water out of that tailings pond. They are in the process of building a molybdenum destruction plant in order to be able to reduce the molybdenum in solution in the tailings to a level of below 1 ppm, which is required by the new law. They do have an interim permit to discharge up to 1.6 ppm between September this year and September next year, but by September next year they will have to comply with the new law and can only discharge water if the molybdenum in solution content is below 1 ppm. So, as I said, they are in the process of constructing that plant, and they are hoping to have this plant ready by September next year. At the same time, they are they told us that they will work with great intensity in increasing the height of the dam at Karain so that they have enough storage capacity for the tailings and the water which they cannot discharge up to next year. So we are, as you can imagine, in a difficult situation right now. We think that the situation will start to normalize again beginning of next year, and that will then in the new year give us the opportunity to finally start with the extraction also from Colibas, because we are with all our extraction equipment which we need for Colibas, we are ready to start that, both with respect to the monitoring equipment in the dry part of the of these tailings and the underwater miner in the wet part of the tailings. We will, of course, during this difficult time, do everything to minimize our costs, and we will do everything to also, under the restrictions, maximize production. We are still in discussion with El Teniente to introduce a few things which could improve our production quantity to a level which is higher than what we indicated in the press release. But these are ongoing discussions, and at this point we don't know whether they will be successful or not. I guess that's the situation in which we are, and if there are any questions, we will be glad to answer these.
Thank you, sir. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift up the handset and then press star 1. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, you may press the pound key. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The next question is from Gerard Benduck Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Looking at the proximity of the Kolelis, I don't know exactly how you sell it, but it's only about maybe a kilometer away. Is there any way of increasing the amount of tailings coming from that pond instead of waiting for the other stuff that's having problem getting across the river?
Well, as I said, the problem is the downstream limitation of the flow, and if you work in the tailings pond, in Kolelis tailings pond, it would be very difficult at the present time, or basically from a safety point of view, impossible to work in Kolelis at the same time when 50,000 tons of tailings is flowing into that tailings pond.
So you can't bring the tailings directly then from that pond up to your plant then?
No, our plant is downstream, and you know, we could bring it downstream, that's not the problem, but we cannot work in the tailings pond while 50,000 tons is going in there every day.
I don't understand. If the tailings are going into the pond, why can't you take that amount out and process that as well?
Well, because you have to pump it back because we cannot send it down to the Karen. So you have to pump it back up there, and 50,000 tons, we don't have the capacity to recirculate 50,000 tons of material a day.
Okay. One other question, if you don't mind. It's regarding Chariot Resources. I'm just wondering, what is your long-term view of that, and how will that be implemented for shareholder value?
Well, from a value perspective, we were an investor and acquired the majority of our stake at levels significantly below the current share price of Chariot, and on the basis of our own review of public information and discussions with management, we took a position that we liked that project, and hence the investment. So we have added significant value. So the stock's in the 60s, and our initial purchase price was in the 40s, low 40s. So from a shareholder perspective, that's been a significant value add. Our intentions, we're not prepared to comment on our intention, other than to the extent that we continue to support management and like the outlook of the project.
Do you have directors from your company on their board?
No, we do not.
Okay. Thank you.
And there are reasons for that, including the fact that it's not clear that we want to be insiders, which would that would make us if we were represented on the board at this stage.
Thank you. The next question is from Margaret Samuel from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Yes, with respect to your interim permit to discharge 1.6 parts per million of molybdenum, do you think you're going to be able to meet that limit, or will there be cases where you'll be above 1.6 parts per million? And if so, what would be the implications of that?
Margaret, I'm sorry. We may have confused you there. I think we need to clarify a couple of things. One, it's not our permit. It's not our tailings dam. We're talking about the Karen tailings dam, which is owned by El Teniente. And it has capacity for 50 or 60 years of tailing from the El Teniente mine. And it is their permit, not ours.
Sorry about that. Yes.
And we're not in control of that. And
right.
what we're talking about is their ability to discharge surplus water in the dam, which comes down as part of the flow of the material. And, of course, water sits on top of the heavier, more dense material of being the solids. And from time to time, in the operation of any tailings dam, it is necessary to discharge that water as the water content increases from the inflow of tailings as well as from surrounding runoff of the water into the dam from the surrounding countryside. This is quite a normal practice for any tailings dam around the world. what Klaus was referring to in terms of the permit is an environmental regulation that says that they cannot discharge water which has more than one part per million of molybdenum in that water from September onwards, except for the fact that they have a 12-month extension to discharge water up to 1.6 parts per million.
Yeah.
And they have a destruction plant that is presently under construction. And in fact, the construction of this plant was one of the reasons for our shutdown earlier in the year, because there was an environmental accident in conjunction with that construction, which will enable them to release water after it's been treated by this destruction plant into the environment. And that is scheduled to be completed and commissioned next year.
Right. But is there any danger that they're not going to be able to keep within the 1.6 parts per million that's part of the interim permit?
Well, the content, the historical content of molybdenum in solution was varying between 0.9, 0.8 parts per million and 2.5. So in the winter months when there is rain, the content goes down, and in the last
because of dilution,
and in the last 2 months they were able to discharge water. Now we are going into the summer months in Chile, and now slowly the moly in solution content will increase, and at some point they will not be able to discharge water anymore. And at that point, since the moly destruction plant is not ready yet, they will have to keep the water in the pond till either the moly plant is ready or the winter comes again and dilution comes and they can then discharge again. But because of the fact that they cannot discharge in the summertime because the content is going up, this concerns them, and that could limit the intake of water into the Corinne Dam.
But in answer, specific answer to your question, with the commissioning of the moly destruction plant, their capacity to release water will be there and able to be complied with the permit
during the whole year.
Okay. So is there any risk that the molybdenum destruction plant will not be finished by December?
It will not be finished by December, no.
No, we said next year.
Okay. Do you know when next year?
Approximately September, they are saying. But once again, I think the point that we need to keep saying here is that we have a significant asset here in the ability to produce copper, as we have done. We've made $12.6 million in the last quarter from our operation, and the potential to continue to perform well financially is still there, even at the lower volume of throughput. It's a long-term project. It's a very simple process for us, and we're effectively a toll treater of their product and minimal environmental impact, etc., on us. However, the downside of this very unique asset is that we are not in control of many things in connection with our production. And I can assure you, it frustrates us as management as much as you as shareholders. But there is very little we can do. To put it into context, El Teniente is one of the five largest copper producers in the world. And you know that they are going to act in their interests. I think it's also fair to point out that the big copper producers around the world are all struggling with their own problems. Escondida has labor negotiation issues in the last 3 to 4 weeks. Tuquicamata, another major division producer of Codelco, is challenged presently by a failure of their of their crusher and conveyor in their pit, and are also being significantly impacted by production curtailment. This is a function, unfortunately, of this industry. It has its production challenges. It has, and when the markets are such that demand has been exceeding supply, and the supply disruptions are unfortunately part and parcel of this business. The frustration that Amerigo has is that, you know, we have the benefit of having a partner like El Teniente to produce our product from, but to a large degree, we are not in control of many of the challenges that are presented to us.
Okay. And, sorry, just one final question. You mentioned that you're going to work to reduce the cost implications of these problems. Can you just sort of outline how you're going to be doing that?
Sure. Well, you know, obviously with lower throughput, we'll shut down a number of the mills that we've installed. One of our largest cost components is energy. So our energy costs will be lower. We'll seek to optimize the material and our recoveries on that material as it goes through the plant, because the volume is lower, residence time in flotation cells, etc.
Okay, thank you.
I think the other factor that it's worth also in that light, Amerigo is a fairly unique producer, to the extent that many of its costs are tied both to the copper price as well as to production, and our royalty costs to Teniente for the rights to treat this material will obviously also fall because we're producing less.
Thank you. The next question is from Bart Yarowski from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Bart.
Hi. So just to get a handle on what we can expect for fresh tailings throughput next year, if the bridge is fixed and reinforced, what can we expect for throughput there given the limitations at Curraghin?
Well, you know, what we expect, and we haven't heard anything contrary to that from El Teniente, is that we will be able to produce from the full flow of the fresh tailings starting next year,
which is
120,000 tons.
That's the normal flow. That's the flow that we've been receiving up until a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, so the water levels at Curraghin should not limit that throughput for 07.
Should not, but we can't guarantee that.
Right. But you're flagging it as a potential concern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I think the other thing to note is that there is only limited capacity to put material into Collihue's after this period.
Yeah.
And the problem becomes then a major problem for Teniente if they're not able to deliver that amount of material to Curraghin. Because
right, then they'd have to shut down or slow down their own production.
There's nowhere else for them to put it. And,
right.
And you know, we're pretty confident that with Truki's problems and all the other challenges within Codelco, that will be an absolute last resort.
They realize that they are getting closer and closer into a corner with respect to reserves for tailings disposal, and therefore they are doing the utmost at Curraghin to be sure that they can put their tailings in there, because there are three tailings locations. As you, Bob, may know, there are tailings right up next to the concentrator at 2,000 meters elevation. These were the old tailings ponds. And they are completely full to the rim because they have used them in the past as emergency tailings ponds. There is no way that they can put anything there anymore. This winter, the water level at one of them was just centimeters below overflow. So that is completely full. They have calculated that they can put something like 10 million tons into Colibas, and then Colibas is full. So that is the last resort they have at emergency ponds. So they know that they have to do everything possible to not get into a situation where they could not produce anymore, because once these are full and they cannot deliver to Karain, then that would mean El Teniente would have to shut down. And as Stephen said, with the problems at Chuki and so on, I'm sure they do everything that something like that will not happen. I think we are pretty confident that we can return to the normal production pretty soon.
Do you guys have a rough number in your head in terms of percentage of the Karain that's full in terms of tailings and full in terms of the water of the entire capacity?
No, we don't.
At present time?
We don't know.
Okay.
And the other thing which is important, and I think that should also not be forgotten, the tailings which El Teniente puts into Colibas, of course, increases the amount of tailings which we will be able to process in future. So that tailings flow which goes into Colibas is not lost for us, but it will in due time, of course, only long term, give us additional revenue and profits.
Yeah, that's a valid point. But this material is not lost. It's just deferred.
And how much are they increasing the dam height right now? And when will that be finished?
Don't know. They're not disclosing that to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're just working on it. They have to increase the dam height regularly. It's not a one-time thing.
Yeah.
So they are just putting all efforts into it to do it faster.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
We wish it was great.
Thank you. The next question is from Mike Shulton from Dallas. Please go ahead.
Hi. So have these curtailments afforded you the opportunity to bring forward any maintenance that you would otherwise have had to do later, or are you taking any
advantage? We're very on top of our maintenance, given the various shutdowns up until this time. For the first half of the year, we've taken full advantage of that, and we're in good shape for maintenance.
We may even, because of that, because we are in good shape, we may even reduce maintenance during that time.
Okay. What about, so how should we think about the fourth quarter production? Is that kind of going to be level with what you're indicating for the third quarter, i.e. 20% down from Q2?
Yeah.
Okay. And so that'll just continue at a straight line through the end of the year.
Yeah. And
okay.
We'll be aiming to reduce costs so we can optimize the financial performance. I think it's fair to say we will still be very profitable at these levels. Now, the 70,000 to 80,000 tons of material was what this plant was treating only a year and a half, 2 years ago, prior to the expansion at Teniente. So we're just simply going back to a similar flow that we had a year and a half ago.
Right, and you've broken out all the variable costs, so I understand that those costs come down at lower production levels. Can you give us like a high-level overview of what you're discussing with El Teniente as far as, you know, strategies for increasing your production? You mentioned that you were talking to El Teniente about ways in which you could bring your production up during this period, and I'm just curious.
One thing which we are discussing with them, we have constructed when we were first informed about the limitation of Karain, and which we published in May, that we are restricted to the fresh tailings flow. We talked to them and we then constructed a recirculation system for about 10,000 tons of tailings going from Colibas into the plant and then being recirculated to Colibas. And that system is in place. And but as I said earlier, we cannot produce from Colibas because of the fact that now so much tailings are flowing into Colibas. But what we could do is we could convince El Teniente to divert less tailings into Colibas, send more down to our plant, and we would guarantee them that we would then recirculate part of that back to Colibas. So at the end, the same amount of tailings would go into Colibas, but we would receive more and could therefore produce more. This is one aspect which we want to discuss with them, and where we are hoping that we can be successful to convince them that that this is something which doesn't present an environmental or other risk.
That would, in short answer, that would give us potentially another 10,000 tons throughput.
Okay, I see.
And if that is successful, we could, in a short period of time, also increase that again by another 10,000.
I think. Oh, okay.
That's the discussions which we have.
All this takes time, and in 3 or 4 months' time, we'll be back at the normal flow again. So we've got to consider what it costs to do that, and do the calculations and trade offs, and convince Teniente of the merits of it.
Okay, I see.
That just gives you a flavor of the sort of thing. We're not sitting on our hands, is what you should be hearing.
Okay. And then a question that one of the women earlier on the call brought up about the parts per million content, moly content. Since you installed that moly circuit, presumably the tailings actually going down to Karain have a lower moly content than they had historically. Is there
no? That's not correct. We are only recovering moly from the tailings itself. We are not recovering moly from. We are not recovering moly which is in solution in the water content of the tailings.
This is the problem with too much disclosure, is that you have to complete 40-year university metallurgical engineering to fully understand the difference between moly in solution in water and moly that we recover from the minerals in the tailings.
Okay, I see. Okay, so you're not really reducing the dissolved
moly. No, we're talking moly in solution in the water content of the tailings flow.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The beautiful thing about great disclosure is that everyone gets to understand what's really going on. The risk is we get too technical and it's confusing.
Okay. I think I got it, though, being an amateur as I am. Just my last question was, given what's happened to your share price since this announcement, just curious, is the buyback still on the table? And, you had been holding off on purchasing shares, I guess, to be more opportunistic. Is that...
No, we have purchased shares in the last 6 months, and that's something that subject to the level of the stock price, that is something that we are considering.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Steve Parsons from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just want to circle back a bit on the contaminant balance. Specifically, trying to wrap my head around on what sort of moly concentrations in solution you have at Colhuas, and if those are higher than 1.6, would that perhaps make it could also sort of strongly encourage you not to feed that material into your plants?
No. In Colhuas, it's I can't give you an exact figure, but it's almost nothing.
Once again, you need to be clear. We're treating the material. The mineral tailings in Colhuas, not the water content in Colhuas.
No, I understand that, but if the water concentration, for example, is higher than 1.6 or substantially higher than the fresh tailings... It's not, okay.
Our water, you could almost swim in that water.
Okay.
Because it's been sitting there for so long and it's settled and it's mostly rainwater.
Gotcha. Okay, so this obviously would not impact... the rate at which you can feed Colhuas.
In fact, we are having discussions with respect to a long-term solution of this whole problem with El Teniente, and we are of the opinion that we can help El Teniente by exchanging water at Colhuas,
mm-hmm.
Because we could still stay within the 1 ppm. At Colhuas and discharge, and we could take a lot of the higher than 1 ppm out from the flow and exchange that against the water from Colhuas, and that would relieve El Teniente from higher moly in solution content. So
gotcha. That was a water swap.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, that's a good feature. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Raymond Goldie from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. I understand that in your contract with El Teniente, it provides that the contract expires in 2021 unless there's been a shortfall in delivery. So I'd assume this means your contract automatically gets extended. And I wondered if it also allows for any compensation in the event of shortfall in deliveries and if in that regard you're contemplating any legal action.
No. I mean, first of all, the contract doesn't contemplate that. The contract is clear that El Teniente, we have to take whatever, or we can take whatever El Teniente sends. If they don't send the full amount, we don't have any recourse to them.
Oh, really?
Other than just the extension of the contract.
Oh, okay, right. That's what I meant. Okay, but there's you have no right to compensation, just extension of the contract, so that you get the full amount, the full quantity contracted for.
No,
correct.
No.
Okay.
Well, and as I said earlier, right, we haven't lost the material. It's just sitting in Colhuas, just deferred.
And you're not contemplating any legal action.
No.
No.
Thank you very much.
They're within their rights to regulate that flow for environmental reasons.
Thanks.
And understandably, they would have to have that clause in the agreement, otherwise they would get themselves into trouble.
Thank you. The next question is from Arthur David George from Toronto. Please go ahead.
I was wondering if you were going to meet your production targets for 2007 of 60 million pounds of copper annually and 1 million pounds of molybdenum.
What we have said in the past is that we will reach the 60 million pounds per annum level by the end of the year.
On an annualized basis.
On an annualized basis.
Yes, sir.
So we didn't say that we will have 60 million in 2007. We will reach that level by the end of the year on an annualized basis.
Let me change my question then. Do you think you'll still reach that level on an annualized basis?
We have no reason at this point to believe that problems will last to, you know, up to that time.
It's a good question, and it goes to the fact that this is a short term issue. But this, none of these things, provided, you know, this moly destruction plan is commissioned when they say it is, all those sorts of things. And then none of those things can restrict us from achieving that level of production. We achieve that, as you know, from 120,000 to 130,000 tons of fresh tailings, plus 45,000 tons of Kaliwet material extracted from that dam, for a total of material inflow of about 165,000 to 170,000 tons of material per day. And at that rate, we would produce something on the order of 60 million pounds.
Perfect. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. The next question is from Michael Lamb from Toronto. Please go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to you guys to summarize a couple of quick things. There's a lot of banter about. First one is, once a dam has been completed, you've indicated you can take on the full fresh tailings, but does the completion of what Alkanet is doing, that allows you to do the 45,000 tons from Kaliwet, or is the Kaliwet issue still undeterminable because of the higher moly content that exists in the Kaliwet?
It is indeterminable at this point, but not because of the moly content. It is indeterminable because El Teniente does not want to commit themselves before they have not done their work, one, on the bridge, and two, knowing what their situation in Karain is.
Okay, so the real issue is volume, not the moly content.
Right, right.
Now, you'll be putting thickeners in sometime end of this year, which will take a lot of water. If, in theory, you're taking out more water, does that not allow you to then put in more throughput, or do they just assume that that's the benefit?
No, you're absolutely right. We are counting on that.
That will be a net benefit, which will may allow greater flow to go down to Karain.
So from your from what you can see right now, in addition to the fresh tailings, which obviously El Teniente will be supplying after the bridge is done, you would in theory be able to supply some extraction out of Kaliwet as a result of the thickness. It'll actually be 10,000, 20,000, whatever it is. It's some number up to 45 that you think can be done through the thickeners.
In theory, correct.
Okay, so then. So if that is the case, why is there any concern at all that you won't get some of Kaliwet out for next year?
We didn't say that.
Okay.
Because the 60 million pounds we were just talking about by the end of the year would require us to be at a 45,000 level.
Okay.
So our plan would be, assuming Teniente achieve what they told us they would achieve in terms of bridge rectification, we will be back to a full flow of fresh tailings by the beginning of next year, and we will then be able to commence the slow ramp-up of Kaliwet towards the 45,000-ton extraction rate by the end of the year.
Due to the fact that we will have thickeners in operation at that time, and therefore will convince El Teniente that we are not increasing the volume of material plus water going down to Karain, and therefore they should allow us to do that. We are careful because El Teniente has not agreed to that yet at this point.
They've not given us yet the benefit of the net benefit that you point out. And look, you have to appreciate these guys. Their annual production this year will be close.
420,000
of copper. We produce at 60 million tons, we produce about 30,000 tons. So, you know, we're a very small player in comparison to their production, and they do not want to jeopardize their level of production, particularly given the level of scrutiny that they are under as a result of these new environmental regulations. They've had public inquiries, government inquiries, they've had environmental audits. You know, they're very, very
bad
press. They're being very, very careful, and you know, they've got to perform in order to get the public's confidence again.
You had mentioned about the diversion dam, that you're trying to do that as an interim measure. Obviously, that diversion dam has been built. My understanding, though, was that it was metallurgy issues where they objected to the recirculation. Is that still the case or not the case?
Sorry, I didn't completely understand the question.
The original idea was that you were going to take 10,000 tons a day from Kaliways,
right,
and then send the 10,000 tons back into Kaliways, so you have
right.
no net increase.
Right. Yeah.
Now the other thing you added was that because of the reduction of fresh tailings flow, that maybe they can take, instead of diverting 50,000 tons directly into Kaliways, they might direct 40,000, send 10 more to your plant, and you'll direct the 10 processed material back into Kaliways.
Right.
Okay. So the matter of fact is that whether because of today's result or recent results or because of the original idea of just set of recirculating 10,000 tons, was it not an issue for El Teniente to even do this diversion because of the mixture of metallurgy and any impact from mixing the metallurgy between the fresh tailings and the Kaliways tailings as you send it down to Karain?
No, it's not a metallurgical issue.
No.
So the material is essentially the same.
So given that the amount of material being sent down to Karain would not change, why do you think El Teniente, why do you think it'd be that difficult for them to agree to something like this?
Again, you know, because as Stephen said, they have been under intense scrutiny, and the recirculation, the material which would be recirculated, of course, is different from the material which is going in, but not so much in a chemical way, but in a physical way, because we would recirculate the fines. We would take the coarse material out and recirculate the fines, and that different physical condition could have an effect on the environmental situation.
Fine material versus rather coarse material acts differently in terms of its settlement in the dam.
I understand. So they need to have a comfort level that then you're doing a study to determine whether that is an issue or not.
Correct.
Right. And we need together to go to the environmental agencies and say, look, this is what we want to do. Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time, Mr. Kuda.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll keep everyone posted on progress. And as I said earlier, these challenges do confront us in this business. The frustration that we as Amerigo management have is that there is only so much we can do in this circumstance. We can assure shareholders that we are, as hopefully by the conversation today, demonstrated that we are doing our utmost to pursue all sorts of different avenues to optimize both production as well as minimize costs, and optimize, most importantly, our financial outcome. Notwithstanding this, we still expect to have a good financial outcome for this quarter, we look forward to delivering that to you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for dialing in.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation, and have a great day.